In James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Last week, 23 of us signed a covenant together, and the invitation is, for those of you who didn't sign, there's copies in the back. Sign the paper copy and also sign the frame, and then you will be signed up just like the rest of us. And I realized that many times when we take a step towards God, right, when we take a step towards God, the promise is that the enemy will flee from us. But also sometimes when we do it, make a deeper commitment to God, we tend to experience more pressure on our spiritual life. It's kind of like the enemy's kind of pushing back and saying, are you sure? Like, you know, this could cause some trouble for you. And the truth is that when we do commit ourselves to Christ, things can happen in our lives that test our faith and test our commitment and test our will to follow God. So today I want to talk a little bit about, from Ephesians chapter 6, about the armor of God, right? So how do we protect ourselves every day when we're going out? How do we submit ourselves to God? How do we protect ourselves from these attacks of the enemy? So I invite you to open your Bibles, if you have it, to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read this section about the armor of God. I know many of you have heard multiple sermons about the armor of God. That's okay if you've already heard many sermons about it. This is an opportunity to go deeper in a different kind of way. God's Spirit is going to continue to develop your understanding as you allow God's message to come into your life today. So Ephesians 6, the armor of God, starting with verse 10, finally says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit and on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Now, if you haven't heard a sermon on the armor of God before, this all sounds very strange and weird. So we will go through the different pieces of armor and how the different pieces work. Some pastors love to go through and talk about the history of each piece and how it was during that time. And I'm sorry, I'm not knowledgeable in that area. If you want that kind of sermon, I'm sure you can find something on YouTube that explains all this. I am concerned with the spiritual implications of these words. Okay, so starts out saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Before these words, right, the verses 1 to 9, it talks about different ways for different groups of people to act. So we're not going to touch on that today, but this is kind of the final word. And it says, put on the full armor of God. Now, some people use this every day in their life, right? They get up in the morning and they purposely put on the armor of God. So they go through the pieces and they talk about and they think about it, right? So that when they go out or when they come out of their bedroom or they go downstairs or when they go out to work, they feel like they have done this, right? They put on this full armor so that they're ready for whatever the day has planned for us. And the truth is that it is a very complete list. And if you do pray the armor of God prayer every morning, then you do go out very spiritually protected. And the reminder is that this armor is not for against other people, okay? This is not the armor that you put on when you're not getting along with somebody at work, except for the fact that that also means that you have a spiritual battle going on. But this is not against people. So we need to recognize that if we have an issue coming to church or if we have an issue and it's related to a person, right, that's not a good enough excuse, right? And we need to look down to the next layer down to figure out why do we have an issue. We can't say, I don't come to church because I don't like the way so-and-so, the way Jake does the shepherd staff. I just don't like that. That's not good enough, right? And that's not what this is for. This is for spiritual battles. This is for battles that happen in our mind. This is for battles that happen in our emotions. This is for battles that happen with our temptations. These are things that we battle within ourselves. This is a recognition that there's more going on in our lives than just disagreements with people. This is more going on in our lives than just things didn't work out quite the way we wanted. This is deeper. This is interior. This is spiritual. Okay, so let's go down. And it also recognizes that there are active forces, spiritual forces that are working against us. Okay? So don't think that it's all just what's going on with you, but there's active spirits. So in Western culture, we don't give too much notice to this, right? But in in Indonesia, where I grew up, if somebody was sick, there was always a recognition, the possibility that there was an evil spirit, there was an evil thing working with them, right? And you may see people praying against these spirits. And we can pray against the spirits of evil, right? We can pray against the spirits of evil in Jesus' name. All right, so it says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. The armor of God is meant to make you a solid, mature Christian. It's meant to keep you from kind of being flipped around by the wind of whatever's happening, right? It's something that helps you stand your ground and keeps you prepared. So it says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, so what is the belt of truth? Anybody from previous sermons want to tell us what the belt of truth is? The belt of truth is simply God's truth, right? It kind of holds our armor together. It is God's word. It is the way you use it is if the enemy or if there's a thought in your mind that's not true. I'm unloved. I can't do this thing, right? You go back to God's word, right? God's word says, I am loved. So you use that truth as a belt to hold it together. I can't do this thing, right? Well, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. So you hold that truth and you use it to fight against the negative feelings or the negative thoughts in your mind. The truth is that God is a sovereign God. The truth is that God knows everything about me. The truth is God knows my strengths, God knows my weaknesses. The truth is that God knows my breaking point, and that God will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear. The truth is that I am God's creation. I am a new creature in Christ. The truth is I am a free person. I'm free from the power of sin. The truth is that the Holy Spirit lives within me. The truth is that the Holy Spirit will guide me. The truth is that I'm God's child, and nothing can separate me from God's love. The truth is that God has a purpose for me, for things for me to do. Okay, so that's the belt of truth. Those are examples of things that when these lies come into our lives, okay, this situation is too impossible. There's no way that my family's going to survive it. All those things, right? So this is the truth that you use, the belt of truth. I see some faces still kind of, anybody have anything that you can add to that that would explain it a little better? Good? Because I'm going to move on to the next thing. It's part of the armor of God. Essential is that we replace the lies with God's truth. Second thing is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness protects, right, us from, it's another protective part of the armor. And when I pray about this piece, I always say, Lord, you have made me righteous. Like, this is not my own righteousness. This is your righteousness that's protecting me. And I say that apart from God, that I don't have righteousness, but with Jesus, I've been born again and made righteous in your sight. This is for the times when the enemy makes you feel like you're not good enough, right? This is when you say, well, you know, we see you failed over there, and you failed over here, and he starts accusing you, right? That's when the breastplate of righteousness comes in, is that you say, I am righteous not because of the things I've done, but I am righteous because God has made me righteous, and it is Jesus' righteousness that is protecting me. And so this is a good part of armor to put on, again, against condemnation, right? And it's also good for holiness and purity. So if you're feeling less than, if you're feeling like you messed up, okay, this is the one that you put on to protect you from the enemy accusing you and immobilizing you. Okay, this breastplate protects you there. The third one that's mentioned are, so this has different words that they use. They use, and here in the version I read, it just says, with your feet fitted with readiness. In some other versions, it might say sandals or shoes, some kind of shoes, right? So this is kind of that willingness, because it uses the word readiness, right? The willingness to make peace, the willingness to use the good news to make peace and bring reconciliation. It is what keeps us from backing away from things that might be, you know, conflict or might make us feel afraid or anxious. It is the stepping into God's peace and God's promise. It is a stepping into. It's shoes that show that we are ready to make peace with people, that we are ready to embrace God's good news. And it also, it also works internally, right? So it's a desire to be available to God, to be sent by God wherever God wants to send us. It's an opportunity for us to go to those people who need encouragement, physical help. It helps with solving conflicts, and it gives you a calming presence in the situation, right? So that's the shoes, the readiness for peace, the willingness to embrace peace, willingness to embrace reconciliation through Jesus. Number four is the shield of faith. Now, shield of faith is, so a lot of these, there's some overlap, but the shield of faith, I always think about, right, something you lift up and you move to wherever you need to move it. So if you're being attacked in one area, you can protect yourself, right? It is the faith, it is saying, Lord, I believe that whatever's happening, right, the faith to believe that whatever's happening around me, that you are with me, that you are going to help me in this situation. It is also a commitment to taking God at his word, right, concerning the promises about the present and future. The shield of faith protects us when we are afraid of what's going to happen to us if we don't get a new pastor soon, right? Faith is what was said, is that we say, well, we believe that God has this person in mind already. That's faith. We believe that God will bring that person to us when the timing is right. That's faith. Faith is a gift of the Spirit, and faith is a shield that protects us from being injured by our doubts and anxieties and fears. So we pray, right? My faith is in you and you alone. Apart from you, I can do nothing. With you, I can do all things. I will not be afraid, for you are going to go with me during this day. And I already know that whatever happens, I will can have victory over it. And you've already walked before me. You already are walking beside me, and you're already walking behind me. That is the shield of faith. It can protect from any direction. It's very versatile. The fifth piece of the armor is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is, for me, I feel like it's a kind of a mind. It's part of the body, that the armor of God that kind of protects my mind, which our mind can really cycle around and get us into a crazy space, right? So the helmet of salvation, again, reminds us of our salvation. It reminds us, right, that we are saved by God's grace, that nothing can separate us from God's love, so that when you start thinking crazy things, you can shut it down with the truth and with the reminder of salvation. It also helps us when we're being tempted to do things that, you know, we don't have any business considering doing. It helps us, again, remind us of the calling, right, of our salvation and what God has called us to do. And the Satan loves to bombard our minds, right, with doubt and fear and evil thoughts. My younger son, he was diagnosed this past year with OCD, and man, his mind is like all the time. And my prayer for him every day is like that God's truth, right? That God's truth is will be what he sees, and so he's always trying to replace the lies with this truth, and his salvation helps him do that. So I put on this helmet that will protect my mind. I may feel the impact of Satan's attacks, but nothing can penetrate this helmet. I choose to stop every impure and negative thought at the door of my mind. With my helmet of salvation, these thoughts will get no further, and I elect to take every thought captive. That's another beautiful verse, right? Taking our thoughts captive and turning them over to Christ, right? So, this is such an amazing thing when you make the connection and you learn to do it kind of like almost automatically, right? And he's like, whoa, where did that thought come from? That's not part of Christ. That's not part of, too high, huh? That's not the way Christ would think, right? It happens with people, right? Like, oh, no. This is what I'm thinking about. That person is not right. This is not the way Christ sees them. They see this person as a God. Christ sees this person as a beloved child of God and with potential and possibility. So this idea of taking our thoughts captive and recognizing the thoughts that come from our own brains and our own training and culture and background, and turning them over to Christ and letting Christ change it into a thought, right, that honors God. That's the helmet of salvation. And then we have the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And again, this overlaps a little bit with this idea of truth, right? The belt of truth. But with the sword of the Spirit, these are words from scriptures. One of my favorites I use all the time is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. All the times when my brain starts really going, trying to figure things out and plan and Lord, what's the answer? And it's that going back to the Word, the reminder that you trust God, you don't trust your own understanding, you acknowledge God's greatness and God's goodness and God's sovereignty, and then you the promises that He will direct your path. That's just an example. I'm sure you have your verses that you use that kind of are part of that sword, right? This is like more of an attack mode, right? This is more of a power part of your armor, offensive part of your armor, I guess I want to say. It's for like really cutting through the tough lies. It's not just a belt, but this is like really for those hard things, right? Those things that keep coming back to you time and time again. And so our prayer with the sword is that we, well, let me just say one more thing. So this sword of the Spirit, it does have to do with how much time we spend reading scriptures, how much time we've spent memorizing scriptures, right? Meditating on scriptures. It does matter whether we have those at our disposal. But at the same time, God's Spirit can bring Bible verses to our minds when we need them, right? So this is kind of a dual thing. There's some that we can do kind of to strengthen this sword, but there's also some that God's Spirit can help us in a time of need. And the story is, the reminder is when Jesus was in the wilderness, right? So the enemy's, the devil's attacking him and trying to trick him and trying to get him to say things against God. And Jesus each time uses a scripture to battle back against the enemy. So that's the best example that we have in the Bible of this. So the sword of the Spirit, the prayer is, thank you for the precious gift of your word. It is strong and powerful and able to defeat even the strongest of Satan's onslaughts. Your word says that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. So by faith I take up strong and powerful sword of the Spirit, which is able to defend me in time of attack, comfort me in time of sorrow, and teach me in time of meditation, and prevail against the power of the enemy on behalf of others who need the truth to set them free. Okay, so that's why I'm saying it's like an offensive, right? It's meant to set things free, not just help us to stand firm. This is kind of like an offensive. Not offensive in like it offends people, but offensive in the fact that it's an offensive move. Okay, so I just want to end up now with the last verse in this chapter, which is not actually, I mean, if you look for a list of the parts of the armor of God, this may not be listed in there, but it is essential in keeping all the pieces together, and that's prayer. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions for all kinds of people, of all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So the prayer, this is the last verse of the chapter. This is the kind of the binding, right? This is the part that encircles everything else is prayer. And keeping ourselves in an attitude of prayer. There are some people who are very disciplined in prayer, and they have these, you know, blocks of prayer time set aside. When I was a young mother, and I had, you know, could not find a block of time because I was too tired to get up early, and I was falling asleep before my children at night, and I learned to do like a breath prayer, right? Like in the moment, like all day long. It was just kind of like an ongoing prayer all day. And it created, the benefit of it is that it created like this awareness in me that there's no wrong time to pray. Every moment of the day can be prayer. And sometimes even our thoughts are just prayer. They're us connecting to God, asking God for help, or expressing our frustration to God. But I think that the other piece is that whenever I sit down to pray, now that I have more time and I can block off times to pray, it feels like I never finish, right? My list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, right? So if I pray for Jen, then that makes me think about praying for her daughters, and then that makes me think about praying about, you know, the connected to her work, and it's just like you just pray and pray and pray, and there's no end to it. I think, Jake, you probably understand that too, right? And it's just like, and so I think we need to be kind of gracious with ourselves with this idea of praying in the Spirit on all occasions. Absolutely. We need to set aside time to pray. And absolutely, any time, anywhere is a good time to pray. Right? And so, don't try to put too many rules kind of with this prayer thing. Right? Just let it kind of like fill and encompass your life. Just let it be just kind of part of who you are and part of what you do. And this is how it feels like it's explains it here. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And don't forget, right, to pray for God's people. Right? But you read the newspaper, you watch the news, all that stuff can bring up things that we can pray about. And it doesn't have to be the perfect words. It doesn't have to be on your knees or standing up or, you know, anywhere, anytime. And the other thing I learned about praying is that I used to really kick myself for falling asleep while I was praying. But but at one point I realized, you know what? I fall asleep praying and I wake up praying. So who knows what I'm doing while I'm sleeping through the power of God's Spirit, right? So I'm just suggesting that be gracious with yourself, right? Oh, prayer is just so powerful and so amazing. And there's just so many ways that the Spirit can help us in prayer. And there's just so much that's happening that we just don't understand when we pray. We won't always see an exact result. We might never find out that our prayer saved a person's life or, But just understand that prayer can become like breathing for us. And so so the armor of God, again, it's a recognition that it's not just that our lives, in our lives we're fighting a spiritual battle, right? It's a spiritual battle for God's truth to overcome the lies of the enemy. It's a battle for us to continue to trust in God and have faith. It is a battle for us to always choose to go towards peace and good news. It is a battle in which we need to use our faith to protect us. And it is a battle in which we need to take the initiative sometimes to cut through layers and layers of lives that have built up in our lives or the lives of others. If you learn to pray the armor of God, if you learn to recognize this, it can change your life. It can change the way that you live your life. And so I'm encouraging you that as you signed the covenant and had all these different pieces, which Jen said were all, pretty much the way you're supposed to be living anyways, right? But just recognize that maybe because you signed it, because you decided to go deeper with God, that there might be some pushback from the enemy, right? You might want to try to discourage you. But that God has already provided everything that you need to fight the battle. And God has already provided everything that you need to live free, love, and peace in your life. All right. Anyone have anything else that they would like to add? Or challenge in the message. Any questions? Yes, Eloise.